Please join us at our Global Flood Seminar in Denver at the Brown Palace. Bob Benyart Live and Real Science Radio are hosting this scientific look at the Genesis Flood of Noah's Day. From 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, November 29th, registration is $20 or $30 for the family. Reserve a seat online at kgov.com, that's kgov.com, or pay at the door, or call now 800-8-NYART, that's 800-836-9278. See you there.
Warning is truth of the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Benyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This is Theology Thursday. Typically, we look at the news of the day from a Christian worldview. Today, we look at the source of the Christian worldview, God's Word. Welcome, Denver Bible Church. And we need a housewarming party, especially over the last 2 weeks. It's been cold. When you got out of your car, did you feel the cold? It's a little reminder about global warming not being all that serious. But at the same time, did you see the snow that covers mountains and trees and that wonderful sign outside, by the way, that Jesus is the reason for the season? And could you smell the winter crispness in the air or hear the crunch of snow? It was as though you can taste it, that Christmas time is near. Please turn to Psalm 94. In the center of the Bible, deep into the book of Psalms, Psalm 94. I have read about a disability in which a person has excellent hearing but cannot comprehend spoken words. Such a person grows up from childhood not deaf but unable to identify audible words. He can learn to read and read well, but he cannot hear spoken words. Now, verse 9 of Psalm 94 speaks of the Lord as creator and God and judge, and reads, "He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see?" If ever you hear someone say that no God exists to hear your prayers, why pray? There's no God to hear your prayers. Remember the powerful message of this passage. He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? Truth is not decided by consensus or majority vote, but I enjoyed reading about Gallup's poll, their survey a couple weeks ago about belief in God in America. And they found that 94% of Americans think that God exists. 94%. And among the remaining population, only 5% feel that God does not exist. And within them, 80% of them are not really sure about that. Only 1% say that they are certain that God does not exist. And of course, they will one day find out about their own fallibility. So 94% say that God exists. 5% think maybe he doesn't. 1% do not know if they exist. So that's the problem. Well, actually, they had no opinion. But that indicates the problem we have in America. A few weeks ago at the dining room table of one of our church families, we witnessed to one of their friends who doubted the existence of God. Now, he was an educated man, knowledgeable in the things of the world that is not necessarily meaning our planet or nature, but the dark existence that mankind has carved out with our eyes shut tightly to the light of God's word. So this friend, he was educated in the things of the world system, And he believed what he had been taught in school, that life evolved. And I took out a sheet of paper and I asked him to consider how eyesight functions, just eyesight. And if you could, I'd like to ask two of the guys, Patrick, Rich, to come up and hand these out. Now, these say on them, they're folded, and they say, do not open until. If you could, keep them folded, put them in the back of your Bible or under your seat, and don't open them, don't unfold them or look until we get to later in the sermon. Well, I'll ask you to open them up. Well, I took out a sheet of paper, and I asked him to consider how eyesight functions in insects or fish or birds or land animals or in human beings. Imagine the awe that God has put in our hearts just when we consider how our eyesight, our vision system functions. And in a moment, I'll share with you the technical challenge I put to him. But first, consider again this verse. He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? God created us with five physical senses: sight, hearing, touch, smell, and taste. It has been said that when you lose your sight, you lose connection with things. But when you lose your hearing, you lose connection with people. These five senses that God gave us are so extraordinary, they become our window to so much of the physical world. And above and beyond these five senses, God has given us a mind which functions independently of our five senses. After death, a Christian goes to be with the Lord, and he doesn't take his sensory organs with him. His olfactory nerve, that stays behind with his body. And a Christian is in heaven. He goes to be with the Lord, and he exists there as, to put it bluntly, a disembodied spirit. No longer having his body, now we're in heaven as spirit beings, awaiting the glorious, incorruptible body that we will possess for eternity when God gives us that. Well, in the book of Revelation, we learn something about that body because that book gives us a glimpse as to what it will be like in heaven. And we find out that all five senses will be in operation. In Revelation 8:1, we read that Jesus opened the seventh seal and that there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. We will have the sensation of hearing in heaven. When God made us in his image, he gave us our five senses. And we know that these will operate there. Remember that John wrote, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Amen. John's visions included the sea of glass and the streets of the city, likened unto gold but transparent. They indicate that the sense of sight exists in heaven, and we will see his face, but shall need no sun, for the Son of God will light heaven. The very fact that we'll receive new bodies in which these other senses will function makes it obvious that we will have the sense of touch also. Our sense of touch will function throughout eternity as we read about the leaves of the tree of life, which are for the healing of the nations. Also, that God will wipe away our tears from our eyes. And John said he was given a reed to measure the temple area. Heaven will be far different than we could imagine and far more familiar than we expect. Because when God created Adam and Eve in the garden, he didn't do a halfway job. He didn't give a cut-rate offer and say, well, let's see how this works for a while. He created, and he said it was good. It was very good. So in heaven, things will be different, but they'll also be so wonderfully and comfortably familiar. After all, Christ has eternally indwelt a form which is our form, for he made us in his image, and he is now a man forevermore. Smell in heaven. God reveals that we will use incense, so our sense of smell also will function there. And finally, taste, for we will not only use the leaves of the tree of life, but also the fruit. John writes that the tree of life has fruit, 12 different kinds of fruit that come ripe once each month, indicating that we will appreciate and enjoy their flavor, so that the sense of taste also exists in heaven. Sight, taste, touch, smell, and hearing. He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? Remember the college philosophy professor who misled her students to think that they could only know that which their five senses tell them? But none of their five senses tell them that. None. So the materialist who thinks matter is the only thing that exists, the materialist is self-defeating. For he cannot even communicate his ideas materialistically. Ideas are not formed of matter. Einstein uncomfortably admitted that ideas did not arise from the laws of physics. They're not made of atoms and molecules. They're something else. And if the atheist wants proof of the existence of a non-physical realm, he only has to honestly ponder his ability to ponder. This past summer, we caught Bill Clinton's former pastor, the Reverend Philip Wagaman, in a logical error. He claims to believe in God and that we have a soul spirit as human beings. Yet he assumed that self-awareness only comes from our physical brain. But of course, in doing so, he was misunderstanding the role of the spirit that God has given us. For we are body, soul, and spirit, and our physical bodies, made of atoms and molecules, are unable to think, unable to reason, unable to understand. For there is an impassable gulf, as Einstein described it, and linguists today call it Einstein's gulf, between the world of matter and the world of ideas. So over the dining room table, we enjoyed talking to this man, an unbeliever, though we pray not for long. And I summed up for him the atheist impossible task of describing life apart from God. And I summed it up for him by taking out a piece of paper and a pen. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to open up that sheet of paper. I scribbled on the paper. And I said to him, when eyesight first developed, whether it was in insects, if you think, as an atheist evolutionist, or in land animals, or in birds and reptiles, wherever eyesight first began, imagine it was in an insect. And the insect, say it's a bumblebee, and it helps him to see at a distance flowers. And he could see where the petals open up, so he could fly into the flower and not keep hitting it on the side. So he needs eyesight. But he doesn't have eyesight, it has to evolve. So when that insect, first by chance you think, evolves an eye, receptors to receive photons, and then he has to transmit that information through an optical nerve to his brain and there interpret it, what do you think that insect is seeing when the signal gets to his brain? Do you think he's seeing a miniature version of that pretty flower with the petals folded open? Is that what you think he's seeing? Well, if you could, open your sheet of paper and you'll see what the insect sees, and you'll see what you see, what animals see, a hawk flying 1,000 feet in the air, coming down to pick up a rodent 100 miles an hour. That's what they see. You don't have a little screen inside your brain. A bumblebee doesn't. No animal has a screen in his brain, and they put a projector of the image he's seeing. Your eye receives photons, and they're converted into an electrical magnetic signal that to us would look exactly like static. It's only static. It's not the picture. It's just static. And it's transmitted through an optical nerve to the brain, and there it has to be decoded. And how many years would it take you to decode that picture to figure out it's a flower? Well, you couldn't do it unless you knew in advance what it was supposed to represent. And the laws of physics, they have no symbolic logic functions. Gravity, matter, acceleration, positive and negative attractions, they don't know how to encode information and then decode it and translate it and comprehend it. The laws of physics cannot do those things. So that was my challenge. Scribbling on a piece of paper could undermine all the intellectuals who claim to believe in a godless evolution. Now, before I read this verse 9 for a final time, let's read the entire Psalm 94 so that we get that passage in context. Because I'm using the verse as an encouragement for us that we have a creator, and the whole world is filled with evidence of our God. But the way the psalmist uses it, it's not as much of a lure or a fruit as it is a club to hammer the unbeliever. Because the psalmist used it as a certainty of judgment, that those who deny God, he made our ears, he hears what they say. And those who sin against God, he made our eyes, he sees what they do, and he will not forget. Psalm 94, verse 1, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth, render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked, how long will the wicked triumph? They utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Of course, in America today, we starve to death our terries and we kill our little ones. Verse 7, yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. But he sees, doesn't he? And he knows. And lest you get discouraged, as we live our lives in our world, even in this culture, we can get discouraged seeing how much is done openly against God. But that discouragement probably comes in because we lose perspective, because we forget that God is our creator, he's our savior, and he is the judge. And one day, those who oppose him will stand and give an account of their lives. God will exalt the lowly and reward those who trust him. Verse 8, understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? Brian Rohrbaugh, whose son Danny was killed at Columbine, and even some pro-lifers may cringe when he speaks, for he hardly ever mentions judges without calling them fools, saying a fool in a black robe does not have the authority to justify murder. You senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge. For knowledge does not come from atoms and molecules, but from the supernatural creator of our natural world. Verse 11, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. That is, when men imagine that there's no God. Your life, how important is your life? What you do with your life and the influence you have on others. If you live your life as though God does not exist, or as though he might exist, but it's not very important to share with others the truth about him or what he has revealed to us. If you live your life in a way that says Jesus Christ, he may or may not have died, but even if he did die and rise from the dead, it's not all that important for me to share with my children or my friends. If you live your life in that way, you make yourself of no positive effect. But all that wicked men need to do evil is that good men would do nothing. And so all the suffering and pain in the world comes as a result of people who live their lives, for the most part, unconcerned about who God is and what he has revealed. Verse 12, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. As in, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness. In Florida, we met for 1 hour with a homosexual businessman. He has 1,800 employees. He owns 14 hotels in the Fort Lauderdale area, 3 restaurants, and outright homosexual establishments in L.A., in a gay piano lounge, he calls it, in New York City. And during that hour, he asked a question that he could not answer, but we answered it for him. He asked about right and wrong. He said, what makes something wrong? And Al Sharon and I were meeting with him, and we answered him. Wrong is anything contrary to the character of God. That's what wrong is. Anything that goes against the character of God. So that you best get to know God. So that you can know what is right and what is wrong. For the better our relationship with God, this goes for me, for all of us, the better our relationship with God, the more understanding we will have. By the way, please pray for him, Paul Galluccio. He's my second cousin. And we followed up with him by sending him a letter and our Mount Moriah video of the evidence for Christ's resurrection. So please pray for Paul. Verse 13, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. Wow. We don't want that to happen to Paul or to unbelievers in your family or our neighbors and friends. So let's pray for them and let's pray for one another that we'll have the courage to share the truth of Christ's resurrection with them. Verse 14, for the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance, but judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say, my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you. Notice what the wicked do. They seek to change the law, for they devise evil by law. For the law is the great teacher to lead men to Christ. Therefore, it is the conservative Christian who faithfully studies God's word who is most qualified to advise governing authorities on law and monetary and public policy. It is Christians. We have that responsibility before God. Verse 21, they gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. And that they do in America, in Colorado, in our town, in your neighborhood, every day. They gather together against the life of the righteous and they condemn innocent blood. Verse 22, but the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. So remember, if ever you hear someone say that no God exists who can hear your prayers, then recall the powerful message of Psalm 94, verse 9. He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? Is the creator of the eye unable to see? The inventor of the ear unable to hear? Is his arm so short that he cannot save in our time of need? No, no, and no. 1,000 times no. He hears, he sees, and he will return to judge. As surely as the sun rises in the morning, he will come. Stop the tape, stop the tape. Hey, this is Bob Benyard. If you would like to hear more, you could go to our store online or call us at 1-800-8-NYARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go to kgov.com, click on the store, and then you could get our Bible studies or go to the subscriptions where you could subscribe to our sermons and our Bible studies. You could get really fun verse-by-verse studies or topical Bible studies. I think you'll love it. Please join us at our Global Flood Seminar in Denver at the Brown Palace. Bob Benyard Live and Real Science Radio are hosting this scientific look at the Genesis flood of Noah's day from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, November 29th. Registration is $20 or $30 for the family. Reserve a seat online at kgov.com, that's kgov.com, or pay at the door or call now 800-8-NYART, that's 800-836-9278. See you there.